It is 2 weeks till June 1st, when the U.S. government says it may no longer be able to pay its bills without borrowing more. So default hangs over talks on the nation's debt ceiling and whether Congress raises it. President Biden spoke today at the White House before leaving for Japan.
America is not a deadbeat nation. We pay our bills. The nation has never defaulted on its debt, and it never will.
The president will cut a few days off his trip to Asia to return to D.C. and negotiate with Republicans on the debt ceiling. Let's talk now to White House policy advisor Bharat Ramamurthy. He's deputy director of the National Economic Council. Welcome.
Thank you.
Negotiators met last night, and the House Speaker McCarthy says there's a lot more work to do to get to a deal by this weekend. We're talking now on Wednesday. What are the chances of a deal by this weekend? 20%, 50, 80?
Well, it's going to depend on continued good faith conversations between all of the folks involved in the negotiations. We think that they're on a good trajectory and that people are understand where the red lines are on each side and continue to make progress towards the deal. So it's hard to project here the exact odds of that coming together before the weekend. But as the president said today, we think we're on a good course.
Speaking of red lines, the White House this week has said it will not accept a proposal that takes away people's health care or pushes Americans into poverty. That sounds like the red lines on your side.
That's correct. Yes. There are some discussions of what Republicans are calling work requirements for accessing health care. The president has made clear that any proposal that has the effect of taking away healthcare coverage from people mm-hmm. is not something he's willing to take into account or to credit. Same with other government programs that are critical for keeping families with kids out of poverty. If the effect of the changes that Republicans are pushing for is to put more people into poverty, put more kids into poverty, that's not something the president is going to accept.
And can I ask you about these work requirements for people on the Medicaid program? This is what the president said on this.
I voted years ago for the work requirements that exist, but it's possible there could be a few others, but not anything of any consequence.
So it's possible there could be a few others. What does the president mean? Some Democrats reportedly think he's talking about SNAP benefits and potential changes to that.
Well, again, look, the president laid out what his principles are when it comes to work requirements. Nothing that takes healthcare coverage away from people, nothing that pushes more people into poverty. If there are proposals that are consistent with those principles that exist, we can maybe evaluate them. But I want to take a step back and just say, mm-hmm. If you recall, in 2017, Republicans had control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency, and they made no effort whatsoever at that point to establish work requirements for any government programs. And now their position appears to be that they will push the United States into its first ever default on its debt unless they get these kinds of work requirements that they didn't even try to do when they had control of Washington, D.C. So it mm-hmm. strikes me as not a particularly credible position, especially when the unemployment rate is 3.4% and mm-hmm. the percentage of working age people in the United States who are employed is higher than it has been in over a decade.
So I guess, you know, stepping back, before these talks, there had been talk of a clean bill just to raise the debt ceiling. Now there's talk about red lines and specifics like work requirements. It doesn't sound like a clean vote just to raise the debt ceiling is in the cards.
I think the more important issue here is that everyone has agreed that default is not an acceptable outcome. And I think it's important to remember that each and every year, we have conversations with the House and the Senate about our budget, about our tax policy and our spending policy. In fact, just last year, the president had negotiations with Democrats and Republicans in the House and the Senate mm-hmm. over a government funding bill, and nobody got exactly what they wanted, but we passed a bill into law at the end mm-hmm. of last year that funded the government and made other important policy decisions. That's exactly the same conversation that's happening now with Democrats and Republicans. And so I wouldn't tie the two issues together. The president views them as separate negotiations, and I think they are.
We've been talking to Bharat Ramamurthy, Deputy Director for the White House National Economic Council. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
So what would a default, not allowing the U.S. to borrow money to pay its bills, mean for the average American? Economist Rana Faruhar is a global business columnist for the Financial Times, as well as a CNN economic analyst. And Rana, let's get in as much as we can here. Start with federal benefits, Social Security, military salaries, SNAP, that's food benefits. What happens? Yeah.
Well, basically, if you go into default, you may not have money for these things. They will get put on hold until some kind of an agreement comes to pass. Now, before that, and if we got closer than we have in the past to a default, I think you'd start seeing the markets respond in a very dramatic way, which I think would put increased pressure on lawmakers to come up with some kind of a deal. So, yeah. You know, I don't want to say that people are not going to see their security checks coming, but in theory, that's what happens
right.
when you don't raise the debt limit.
And if you can't get your food benefits, for instance, that's terrible for the families that don't buy food, but also then small stores aren't getting their business, so that unravels. What about government salaries? A 2021 statistic shows the federal government was employing just over 2.5 million people, including the military.
Again, you might see delays. The whole point, people need to really understand it. It's often, we talk about the debt ceiling in a very abstract way. You know, it's this sort of big picture problem. It's very simple. The government, like any household, has to pay its bills. And when it doesn't have the money to do that, it can't pay its bills. That means things like government salaries. That means Social Security. That means food benefits. So when Congress plays with this, they are playing with all of our lives, our futures, you know, people's livelihoods, literally. It's a choice between grandma being able to get food, drugs, you know, without a Social Security check.
Well, let's talk about companies. We know that many companies have contracts with the government. They may not be getting those government payments and can't make their payrolls in turn. We forget,
right.
A lot of companies work just, you know, month by month. They get payments or have loans and make payroll. We're reading about a small finance software company whose payroll person is switching company investments away from bonds to money market funds because while they make less as they park their money there, they can get that cash out faster if they need it. And she's also stockpiling cash in five different currencies to cover 2 months of payroll. Is this a good move for companies to do this?
You know, I don't think it's a bad move, but I think that it says something really profound, which is, do you trust the U.S. government? Do you trust dollar-based assets? And I think that that's really the big picture here. We as Americans have been used to being able to run debts, have a lot of space to buy things both at a country and a consumer level, in part because the dollar is trusted. If the dollar stops being trusted, that affects everything. Interest rates go up. The value of treasury bonds will go down. You know, that the value of dollar assets in general may start to collapse. I think you could easily see 50% being wiped off the stock market if
okay.
there were to be a default.
Well, that brings us to, you know, if so people who need money to do payroll, turning to loans won't be as effective because those interest rates are going up. What about people's mortgages?
Well, I mean, they're already ticking up, but absolutely, if you start to see debt becoming more expensive, which is what happens if creditors don't believe that you will pay back, debt becomes more expensive, then absolutely, rates on everything start to go up, homes, cars, student loans. I mean, that is, of course, one of the sticking points in trying to get Republicans and Democrats on the same page. They want the president to tailor, to cut back some of those signature programs, which he doesn't want to do. So, yeah, it's. I mean, I'm not given to hyperbole. I want to be clear, but this would be a real economic event of a kind I personally haven't seen in my lifetime.
Yeah. So, what should people do to protect themselves? We've been hearing from our financial advisor Jill Schlesinger. You know, get rid of that debt.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I mean, I've been saying that to people really in the last couple of years. And this goes, again, to a really bigger picture point. Most of us, I'm 53, most of us have lived most of our lives in the last four decades or so in a falling interest rate environment, in an easy money environment. In the last couple of years, that started to change, and you can already see the disruptions. Anybody, be it a consumer, a company, or a country, that has a lot of debt right now is at major, major risk because the environment could change very sharply and quickly. And so I would encourage everybody to get their balance sheet in shape.
Look, we've never been here, and we're talking about some things that could happen. It seems inconceivable, and as you said, it seems as if a deal would be made. But just in case, as we're hearing about companies not getting payments from the government to make payroll or small businesses not getting payments from other manufacturers who maybe aren't getting payments from someone else, you know, that are you worried about jobs?
Oh, 100%. 100%. I mean, I've been worried about jobs for some time now. In some ways, I think we've been a little bit lured into a false complacency by some of the really great jobs numbers. And they are great. I don't want to say that that's not the case, but we're entering a different period. Companies are starting to invest a lot in technology that's job stripping, AI technology. If we see a downturn, they're going to double down on that and probably get rid of labor. So for sure, we may be entering a difficult period.
Okay. Well, on that note.
I'm sorry to be so much of a bummer.
Nothing good comes of it. Rana Farrukhar, global business columnist and editor with the Financial Times. Thank you so much.
Thank you.